Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. So glad that you tuned into the program. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to talk about conversion. This comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, about Saul, who would become Paul. He was going to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city. You will be told what to do." People have a catalytic converter in their car, and thieves are stealing the catalytic converter. And I thought that that would preach well because I'm talking about conversion. The catalytic converter in your car takes toxins and converts them into things that the car can use, like water, carbon dioxide. And thieves are stealing it and getting money on the black market. In the same way, cars need conversion. In the same way, people need conversion. There is initial conversion and ongoing conversion, where God literally takes the toxins and converts it into something he can use. Toxins such as bad morality, sin, selfishness. And we all need to be converted. We heard in the reading about the conversion of Saul to Paul. His name was literally changed. That's always symbolic when your name is changed, that you're having a conversion, that something deep is going on. And Saul was persecuting the church, coming against the church. And he had a dramatic conversion. Jesus literally appeared to him. He fell. He heard his Jesus' voice, saw the light, and became a changed man. Oftentimes, your initial conversion isn't so dramatic. It can be very kind of commonplace or ordinary. A lot of times, your initial conversion is simply being born into the church. You grow up Catholic, or you grow up in another denomination, and in some ways, that's your initial conversion. Hopefully, you will have some type of a dramatic conversion, such as seeing the light, or hearing a voice, or feeling the Holy Spirit touch you. That happened in my life. I was born and brought up Catholic and went to church, but yeah, nothing was really happening in my life until I surrendered to Jesus, and things started changing for me. I call that my initial conversion. But you don't have to have a dramatic conversion to be converted. I want to make that clear. Oftentimes we think, well, wait a minute, I didn't have anything. What's wrong with me? God works in different people's lives in different ways, various ways. I want you to know that everybody, however, needs to be converted. Paul had this dramatic conversion, but that wasn't the end of it. After he had this initial conversion, then became this long process. And I go like this, long process for the rest of his life of being transformed. He said, all that matters is that you become a new creation. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And thus began this long process of suffering and experiences and real life happenings and ups and downs. And through it all, God was at work bringing him to new life, bringing him to conversion. It's the same way in our life. Whether you've had a dramatic conversion or not, or simply being born into the church, then begins this process, this maturation, this progression from selfishness to selflessness, from sin to sanctity, from desolation to consolation, from not knowing God to knowing God. That's exactly what conversion is. It happens in two basic ways. First of all, it has to do with your moral life, sinfulness being changed to holiness. In one of the other episodes, I talked about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us with this process of being converted, of changing, of going from sin to holiness. In addition to your moral life, of course, there's your mind. You need to become positive and think positive thoughts. Your attitude, being strong and optimistic. And then, especially what I want to talk about is your conversion to God. What I mean by that is, oftentimes, you don't really know who God is, and you kind of believe that God's out there somewhere, but there's so much more. God is almighty, and God is very all-encompassing. And what happens is, when it comes to conversion, you can get to know in a progressive way, and that's exactly what Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. He already knew Christ to some degree, in some way, shape, or form, but it's progressive. It's a journey. It's a process. I love what it says in one of the scriptures. It says that the path of the righteous is like the noonday sun. It grows brighter and brighter as you journey. This series is about being blessed. One of the ways that God blesses us is by giving us the Holy Spirit. But another way that he blesses us is by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, to convert us, to change us, so that we can grow and become the image of Jesus. I wanted to share with you that conversion is something that can be very powerful, this dramatic conversion, or it can be quite ordinary. But for all of us, it's ongoing. It's a process. That's exactly what happens in Lent. Lent in the Catholic Church is a season of 40 days where we talk about purification and enlightenment. Purification being our growth in holiness, turning away from sin, becoming all that we can be, and then enlightenment having to do with our relationship with God. I am a Passionist priest. You can see by my religious habit, I am a Catholic priest belonging to a religious community called the Passionists. I professed my vows about 36 years ago. In our Passionist community, we have many saints. St. Paul of the Cross was the founder of the Passionists. And one of the saints that we have that I wanted to talk about was St. Maria Goretti. St. Maria Goretti is kind of unique because she was only 11 years old when she died. And actually, she was murdered. What happened was a 20-year-old young man, Alessandro Serinelli, accosted her and tried to rape her, but she resisted. She is the saint of purity. 11 years old, she wouldn't allow that to happen. Well, Alessandro took a knife and stabbed her to death, stabbed her 14 times, if you can imagine. She lived for about 20 hours, and right at the moment of her death, St. Maria Goretti prayed, and she said, "Heavenly Father, forgive Alessandro. I want him with me in heaven." Wow. Talk about a holy young girl resisting impurity, dying with the words of forgiveness on her lips. Alessandro was put in prison, and he was in prison for about 30 years, angry, violent, very upset. Nothing was happening in his life. All of a sudden, one night, he had a dream, like to call it a vision. St. Maria Goretti appeared to him in his dream, and she had 14 white lilies, gave those lilies to him, symbolic of the 14 times that she was stabbed, and white lilies, symbolic of purity. He awoke from his dream. He became a changed man. We call that his initial conversion. He had a dramatic moment, Alessandro Serinelli. This is in Italy. Then he began to grow. And that's exactly what conversion is. You begin to change. And I always tell people, you may feel stuck, but you can change. You don't have to stay stuck. When he was released from prison, he didn't go back to his old ways of violence and anger. Rather, he joined a Franciscan monastery as a layperson and became a model Franciscan. He was at St. Maria Goretti's canonization, that in the Catholic Church is when you become a saint formally. He was at the ceremony, and some are calling for his canonization now because of the change that happened in his soul. And that's exactly what I'm praying for all of you, that you will realize that God is at work in you, taking the anger and the violence and the bitterness and the non-forgiveness, the selfishness, the toxins, as I talked about earlier, and purifying us, changing us to become like Christ. Conversion is ongoing, as Paul the Apostle said. He said that, I want to become like Jesus. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And then he said, I haven't arrived yet, but I press on. That's the thing about life. During life, none of us actually ever arrive at perfection. I call it progression, not perfection. We strive for perfection. That's what the word in the Greek means, teleos, to strive toward it. But it's progressive. It's a process. It's change. It's a sacred walk. It is a journey of faith. And we grow. I've been a priest now for 31 years. It's amazing. The biggest surprise, I've met so many people. It's been wonderful. But it's amazing. The biggest surprise of my priesthood is, get this, the sacrament of reconciliation. Oh, what I have heard and seen in the confessional box has amazed me. When we talk about conversions, there it is. I've heard this saying, a star is born. I have seen people be reborn in the confessional. People come to me with vulnerability, honesty, sincerity. They take their masks off, the masks that they wear in society, because they're not trying to fool me or trying to please me. They just simply want to come before God and confess their sins. And I see their naked vulnerability, and I listen to their heart. And it's amazing what happens in that confessional when a person opens themselves up to God, the grace that flows. Makes me think right now, some of you haven't been in a long time. Oftentimes, people don't go for a long time, and you need to go. Confession is good for the soul. It's a catharsis. I go like that. You get it off your chest. Healing comes. That's what it says in the letter to James. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. And there's a healing, a resurrection that happens in the sacrament of reconciliation, and I love it. We did a study years ago when I was in the seminary, and we said, why aren't people going to confession? It seems like a lot of people weren't going. And we did a study about it. Why aren't people going to confession? And we found out something very interesting. We found out that people are going to confession, not necessarily in traditional means. People are going to their bartender, to the neighbor at the fence, to their sponsor if they're in the 12-step program. People instinctively know that they have a need to get it off their chest, to let it go, and receive healing. And if that's you, and it probably is, because we all need to go to confession, we all need to unburden ourselves, I am praying that you will receive healing and grace. Whether you go to a priest, and I hope that you will if you're Catholic, or if you're in the 12-step program, you speak your fifth step to somebody that you can trust, like a sponsor, or you go to somebody and you just unburden yourself and let them know, a trusted friend. No matter how long it's been, no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, go to confession. Unburden yourself. Lay your burdens down. Pick yourself up and go forward. That's conversion, no matter what you've done. There's forgiveness. That's the gospel in a nutshell. The kerygma, that's a Greek word in the early church, was that Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And we celebrate that in every sacrament of confession. If you ever want to see conversion, go to a 12-step meeting. The stories are real. They're raw. And they share what they've gone through. Usually, what it takes for a person to come into recovery from an addiction, it usually takes some kind of a bottoming out experience, maybe a fight or a blackout or an accident. And they share those stories and how they've changed. Number one, they've admitted that they're powerless, that they have a problem, that they have an addiction. And then number two, that they've come into recovery and that by the grace of God, by the care of God, they're staying in recovery. And recovery is conversion. Part of their recovery, not only turning away from an addiction, but part of their recovery is coming to know God and God's working in their life. That's exactly what conversion is. It's a personal change, morality-wise, addiction-wise, whatever you're struggling with, being negative to being positive. And then it's a coming to know God. We come to know God as we journey. That's so crucial. In the Catholic Church, there's been many conversions. Most of the saints have gone through some type of a conversion. I've talked about St. Ignatius of Loyola in other episodes and St. Francis of Assisi in another episode. Wanted to share with you about one of the doctors of the church, St. Augustine. St. Augustine wasn't always a saint. In fact, he was kind of a rabble-rouser and dabbled in Eastern religions, had a child out of wedlock. Wasn't really sure about God or where to go or what to do. And one time he was out in his backyard, heard some children playing nearby, and he heard the words, take up and read, take up and read. And he thought, he knew he needed to read the scriptures. He picked up a Bible and he came to Romans 13. This changed his life. Talking about Augustine of Hippo. And he read, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Then he heard St. Ambrose preaching. It brought about conversion. He went from being a rabble-rouser, dabbling in Eastern religions, having problems with lust, to a saint and the doctor of the church. I think about my own life. Scriptures have changed me too. I didn't hear a little child saying, take up and read. But I sensed that if I wanted to know God in a deeper way, I needed to come to the scriptures. That's exactly what I did. I came to the Bible and I read Matthew, started with the Gospel of Matthew, the first gospel in the Bible. And I came to Matthew 7:7, and it says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. And that so spoke to me. Here I am, a young man, looking, searching. That's part of the conversion process, asking questions. And it touched me. And in addition, I began to watch religious programs on television. That's why I'm so glad you're watching my program, because I believe that religious programs on television and listening on the radio can help your conversion process. It can help you move forward. I remember watching Billy Graham, Fulton Sheen, all these great preachers, and they didn't mince words. They talked about the truth, and I was able to be engaged by their preaching, and it really helped me to move forward in my life and know what to do. I wanted to change. I just didn't know how. I needed the scriptures to help me. I needed good spiritual books to help me, and I needed good preaching. That's one of the goals of my program, Live with Passion. I want you to come to know God in a personal way. I want you to change, to grow, to become all that you can be, morally, as well as realizing your potential. And I'm especially interested in the nuns, not the N-U-N sisters in the Catholic Church, the N-O-N-E-S. Nuns are those who have no religious affiliation atheists, agnostics, they're not quite sure about God or they don't really go to church. I am praying that you will sense God speaking to you if you are a nun, if you haven't been going to church, if you don't know that God exists. God, I believe, is the one who directed you to this program and is calling you to conversion. I believe that you will get an initial conversion that will be powerful and then the ongoing conversion. Or perhaps you were going to church and you fell away. Well, now is the time to come back. And I'm so glad that you've tuned into the program. And I'm praying that you will experience the grace of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." And I'm praying for those of you who are my partners, those of you who buy my books and my resources, those of you who have been listening and watching me for years now, I am praying that you are sensing the power of God working in you, changing you, that you aren't the person that you used to be anymore, that you have that great desire to move forward and become all that you can be. And most of all, that God has become real in your life. Your prayer life is changing. You're understanding who God is, that God walks with you and works in you and works through you to help other people. It's so wonderful, this journey, this pilgrimage of faith that we're on, this process of maturation. I think back, this is one of the things that I hear in the confessional. People think back to the way they used to be and they think that they're so ashamed and so guilty of their past. You are not the same person anymore. God has forgiven your past. You wouldn't do those things now. And if you are doing those things now, be converted. That was Jesus' first message. Remember, he comes into Galilee and he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe the good news. Repent and believe in the gospel." That word repent means be converted, change. You're not the same person, and I'm not the same person that I used to be 30, 40 years ago. I have changed. There's a lot of water under the bridge. There's been tremendous surrender. It's the same in your life, too. So don't look at the way that you used to be. Look at the way you are now and where you're heading. Change is so important. I read about Christ the Redeemer. If you've ever seen this statue of Christ the Redeemer, it overlooks Rio de Janeiro. One of the architects, an engineer, his name was Heitor Levy, was up on the statue as they were putting it on that great precipice, and he tripped and almost fell and almost got killed. Miraculously, he was saved. He attributed that to Jesus. Heitor Levy was Jewish, and he had a conversion. That was his initial conversion. He became Catholic, and now he's involved in ongoing conversion for the rest of his life. And then, of course, he passed away. He passed away a believer. And then I think about, when it comes to conversion, I think about a woman named Abby Johnson, who was a director of Planned Parenthood. Abby Johnson was invited by a doctor who was performing an abortion to help him while he was performing the abortion. As she was in there performing the abortion, she noticed on the ultrasound that the baby was trying to get away from the instruments. That so traumatized her and changed her that she went from being pro-choice to pro-life. She had a conversion. If you by any chance have tuned into this program and you are contemplating an abortion, I'm asking you to reconsider your decision. The child within your womb is a child, not a choice. Give that child a chance. Put that child up, that baby up for adoption. Have your baby. God will make a way for you. Please do not have that abortion. And I'm praying that everybody who watches these programs will be pro-life. We come to conversion by, first of all, giving our life to Christ in surrender, turning away from sin. That's really important. That's what the word repentance means. Go to church. Give it a try. Most of you are going to church, but if you're not, please go. Celebrate confession. Be honest. Don't just tell the priest what you think he wants to hear. Open up your heart. Be completely vulnerable. That's how conversions happen. And then continue to pray and be obedient the best you can. Spend time reading. Get into the scriptures. Your ongoing conversion is crucial. Purification and enlightenment. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.